ever lie on your back on a warm summer afternoon, just watching the clouds drift by, letting your mind daydream its way into those secret corners of the imagination? Sure you have. And so have most of us, from the beginning of history. Daydreaming has been, down through the ages, one of life's most delightful activities. This young fellow enjoyed daydreaming too. Years later, he was to become one of France's greatest composers and to fill nearly every page of his music with the daydreams of a hazy, unreal world of the imagination, a mysterious world of mist and moonlight and whispers in the wind, a watery world of sun and sky and sea spray and the cry of gulls against a backdrop of blue, a dim, dreaming world of sunlight and shadow, and the hazy, half-hidden landscapes of forgotten yesterdays. This composer's name was Claude Achille Debussy, spinner of strange secrets and delicious dreams, and France's foremost musical magician. Claude Debussy was born at Saint-Germain-en-Laye, a suburb of Paris, in 1862, about 2 years after the outbreak of the Civil War in the United States. From the start, it seemed obvious that young Claude was destined for a musical career. By the time he was 11, the youngster was playing the piano so well that his parents decided to place him in the great French music school, the Paris Conservatory. Here, Claude's studies started off well enough. But in time, he ran into trouble. Finally, his piano instructor decided to have a serious talk with the lad.
You know what a good share of your trouble is, Claude? You're a daydreamer. You seem to be living in a kind of private dream world all your own.
Yes, sir.
And the rest of your trouble is, you're a rebel, a nonconformist. You feel you can break every musical rule ever written, and then make up new ones of your own. You argue with your teachers instead of doing an honest day's work. You seem to think you can arrive 10, 15, 20 minutes late for an appointment like this one without so much as one word of apology to anyone.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, sir.
Sorry indeed. You'd be wiser saving your apologies for the entire conservatory.
The entire conservatory, sir?
Why not? Since your arrival here 2 years ago, you've turned this school upside down by becoming the greatest single problem the conservatory has ever had to deal with. You irritate your teachers. You upset your fellow students. And you're driving all of us slowly mad with your endless questioning of the rules, your breaking of the rules, and you're making up new rules of your own.
But what about those two medals I won last summer?
Well, Claude, those awards make things even worse, for they indicate how far you could go if you would just obey the rules. For one thing, you'd go to the head of your class again. And for another, perhaps you'd wake up to your painful need for more practice. If you ever aspire to become a first-rate pianist, my boy, it is high time you learn the value of scales and exercises and the fundamentals of music, just as all of the great musicians of the past had to do.
Yes, sir.
Tell me something, Claude. Which of the great composers interests you the most?
Well, Chopin for one, and Bach for another, although I find him rather loud and long-winded in places.
Ah, loud and long-winded, is it? And what of the great Richard Wagner? I suppose you find him loud and long-winded also, eh?
No, sir. He is simply magnificent.
Aha! And do you know why? Because he studied long and hard all the rules.
But surely, sir, the great Wagner does not trouble himself over the rules today.
Ah, he breaks the rules here and there, it's true. But he became thoroughly familiar with them first, so that he knew why he was breaking them later.
But he did break the rules, sir.
Yes, Claude, he did break the rules now and then, but only because of...
If the great Wagner can write such magnificent music by breaking rules, then perhaps I, too, can break the rules and become a composer.
A composer? Ha! At the rate you're going, young man, you'll become a composer the day it snows in July and zebras lose their stripes.
Despite his professor's gloomy prediction, Claude Debussy did become a composer. Such a good one, in fact, that he was awarded a prize in his final year at the conservatory. A prize which allowed him to study for several expense-paid years in Rome, Italy. Returning to Paris in his mid-20s, Debussy soon became fascinated with the work of a number of young writers and artists who were busy experimenting with strange new ways of creating poems and paintings. These people were developing a style known as Impressionism, which means roughly the art of suggestion. In other words, they were looking for ways of getting something down on paper and canvas that was not so much a realistic description of a scene, but rather a hint or suggestion of it. The important thing to them was not so much the scene itself, but the feelings they had about the scene while painting it. Let's see just what this means. Suppose you're staying at a lake for the summer, and you send your cousin a picture postcard like this one to show him how your vacation spot looks. Well, most of the details are here, aren't they? The lake, the dock, the sailboats on the water. But let's take a closer look. There's nothing here to indicate the real feeling of the place, is there? Those special sensations so characteristic of lakeside resorts. What would help to give your cousin the feel and quality of the place would be an impression of the lake. Like this one. Auguste Renoir, the great French artist who created this impressionistic masterpiece, wants us to see the lake not so much as a photo, but rather the way he felt it and saw it with his own eyes, with the light reflecting on the colors in a certain way. This is an impression, then. Almost a dream of the lake, so painted as to make us feel as if we were actually taking part in that dream. Before long, Claude Debussy became so absorbed with what these artists were doing that he felt he, too, must attempt to capture these dreams and feelings and sensations, but in a musical way. In time, Debussy was composing music the like of which had never been heard before. A strange, lovely, mysterious kind of music, light and transparent as dragonfly wings. Music that whispered and hinted at those secret places that dwell within the depths of man's imagination. Listen. Debussy called this piece voile, the French word for sails. In it, he tried to capture the sensations one would have while moving slowly across the water's surface in a lovely sailboat. Did you notice the floating feeling about this music? The way it sort of suspended you in space as you listened to it? Debussy achieved this effect by making use of what musicians call the whole tone scale. The whole tone scale is really nothing more than our old friend, the regular major scale. But without the half steps, so that it sounds like this. Notice how hazy and blurry that scale sounded? Almost as if it were coming from beneath the water's surface. Debussy, in time, made such wide use of this scale that it eventually became his special trademark. Although his treatment of scales added much to the charm of his music, the real key to Debussy's greatness lay in his new and daring use of harmony. Running true to his early form as a rebel schoolboy, Debussy the man became rebel extraordinary. Now thoroughly grounded in the fundamentals of harmony, he proceeded to break so many of its rules that the course of musical history was soon to be changed forever. And small wonder. Before Debussy's time, composers were writing solid, straightforward harmonies with clean, clear edges, like the colors in a flag. Listen. By contrast, here's the way Debussy made those chords sound, almost like the colors in a rainbow, whose shades and tones blend and melt together in a fuzzy, blurry kind of way. Among Debussy's favorite harmonic devices was his use of gliding chords, or what musicians today term parallel motion. To glide a chord over the piano keys, you move all of its notes together, like this. Another of Debussy's favorites was dissonance, that rather harsh sound you get when you press, at the same time, two keys that are next to each other on the piano. Debussy often built dissonances like these into entire chords, such as this one from The Engulfed Cathedral, a work for the piano. Armed with these bold and different musical ideas, and fortified with an imagination that knew no boundaries, this musical rebel, near the end of the 19th century, began to create a new musical style known as Impressionism, a mysterious and wholly unexplored world of music. Music capable of suggesting the sensations of sight and sound, touch and taste, nature and the out of doors. Music with titles like Gardens in the Rain, Reflections in the Water, and Bells Through the Leaves. With this music, Claude Debussy shocked and baffled his public, created a whole new musical style, altered completely the direction of musical history, and helped to prepare the way for much of the modern music we know today. One of Debussy's earliest successes was the lovely Clair de Lune, or Moonlight, which he composed in his early 20s. It remains today one of his most popular compositions. Among Debussy's first works for orchestra were the Nocturnes, three tone paintings which move in a hazy world of sunlight and shadow. The first of these selections is entitled Nuage, or Clouds. After a misty introduction in the woodwinds, the English horn punctuates the air with a slow, solemn song of the sky. In 1905, then at the peak of his powers, Debussy completed what many musicians believed to be his finest work for orchestra, La Mer, or The Sea. Its second movement is entitled Play of the Waves, and within its wind-tossed measures, you will hear the splash and spray of the sea, illuminated by 1,000 tiny glints of sunlight. Between 1906 and 1912, Debussy composed his last great work for orchestra, a three-part symphonic portrait of Spain, entitled Iberia. The final movement of this sunny score is called Morning of a Feast Day. If you listen closely, you'll hear such things as church bells, gypsy guitars, and the crack of a tambourine, marking the rhythm for a gay and fiery dance of celebration. Course of his 56 years, Claude Debussy gave musical wings as no man had before him to that strange, hidden, mysterious land of the imagination. In so doing, he shook the established musical world to its very foundations and paved the way for the music to come. Claude Achille Debussy, rebel, daydreamer, genius, one of France's foremost composers, and the world's great musical magician.